This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. This is The Bigger Picture and I am Meera Sivasodhi. In the studio with us, our resident geneticist, Dr. Arif Anwar, I'm back for his monthly show. We're going to be discussing something a little technical today, but you're going to help us break it down, aren't you, Dr. Arif? It's about sexual dimorphism. Did I pronounce that correct?
And immunology.
Yeah, and mast cells, whatever these things are. Okay, anyway, we're going to go through that because Michigan State University researchers are the first now to uncover reasons why a specific type of immune cell acts very differently in females compared to males while under stress. And this apparently results in women being more susceptible to certain diseases more than the males. So that is exactly what we're going to be discussing today. Yeah. What do you mean by sexual dimorphism?
Yeah, it sounds, the whole thing sounds very technical. Okay, let me just step back a bit and kind of roll into this. So, when you think about any organism, even bacteria have some sort of defense mechanism, right? And the immune, they have a very, very basic system by which they defend.
Our soldiers.
Yeah. So, if you think about any living organism, apart from viruses, there's two or three key things, perhaps three fundamental things that all living organisms have to do. One thing is to survive. Right, which is very important otherwise. And survival is about getting nourishment and food and being able to avoid getting killed or killed from a disease or being killed by something else.
Absolutely.
By something else. Mm-hmm. Now, when you think about humans, we've evolved to a point whereby it's pretty hard for us. I mean, of course it does happen, but very, very few humans are killed by other animals. It's a tiny percentage of the mortality numbers
compared to the animal world.
Compared to the animal world, right? If you're a deer walking around Africa, then you know life is tough, right? And you know you've got a high chance of being eaten by I'm not sure deer.
okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, but if you look at humans in the 21st century, the things we have to do is survive. That involves having enough food and water and avoiding disease. And there's two types of disease. There's communicable disease. Communicable disease is basically things like viral infections, bacterial infections, some parasitic infections, all come under communicable disease. And there's also non-communicable disease like heart disease, diabetes, etc., type 2 diabetes, etc. So if you look at the mortality figures globally, it's roughly a 2/3, 1/3 split. A little bit of a difference in different countries, but yeah, you can think of it like that. You have a 2/3 probability of dying from having a heart attack or cancer or all the other types of diseases that are non-communicable, and roughly a quarter to a third probability, depending on where you live, which country you live in, of dying from an infectious disease, virus, bacteria mediated. So the immune system is very important. Our immune system has evolved over millions of years to be an incredibly complex set of mechanisms to avoid, to basically protect ourselves from initially. There's three or four layers of the immune system, and if I talk about it today, I'm probably going to bore myself to. Yep. I mean, it's a really complicated system, but essentially there's three layers. The first layer is a simple layer. You know, your skin, your saliva, your mucus gets, you know, protects you from the initial attack, and then you have what is basically your foot soldiers that are all there waiting. Right, there's a whole bunch of things that are waiting for things to come in and attack. Right, when a virus goes in, or a bacteria goes in, or a parasite goes in, or something the body doesn't recognize, there's a built-in, innate immune system. These soldiers are all waiting and ready to attack and do various things. They'll release chemicals, they'll spray things, they'll call other things to come along and fight it. So that exists all the time. And then there are also what's called the adaptive immune system. Which basically things like antibodies is part of the adaptive immune system that grows to it, that grows based on something new that comes along. So antibodies are massively produced when it recognizes. That's how vaccines work, for example.
Yes.
Now, that is the end of my theory bit on immunology. That's all I'm saying today. Now, dimorphism. Dimorphism is a flash word for saying there's two types of things, right? So essentially, if you look at the topic today is immunology and the differences between men and women and how that can relate to genetics and genes that are different between men and women. Now, this is a really complex topic, and I want to take it off science for a bit because I think there's these researchers in the States in Michigan, what they found is that men compared to women have a much lower chance of getting certain conditions that are stress related. So for example, irritable bowel syndrome. You know, depending on what you read, which source you look at, there's various sources, between 2 to 4 times more likely if you're a woman. Right? Why is that? Why should that happen? There are other conditions known as autoimmune conditions, where, I mean, the immune system is designed to fight off bad things, viruses, bacteria. But sometimes the autoimmune basically is a term for when the immune system basically gets things wrong.
So it recognizes itself as the enemy.
It starts to attack things that which are actually itself, right? I mean, it starts to... The autoimmune system is things, for example, where the body might not recognize your own proteins properly, your own genes properly, and attack your own proteins and create autoantibodies, self-antibodies. There are many conditions which are very, very common, unfortunately. Some are more serious than others. Lupus, for example, mm-hmm. is a very serious condition.
Rheumatoid arthritis
is another one.
Mm-hmm. Psoriasis,
there are multiple skin conditions. One thing which has become very interesting, and I don't want to go off topic too much, is that our understanding of things that are immune-related disorders has grown massively in the last 10, 15 years. Things that scientists and doctors didn't think were autoimmune conditions are actually related to the immune system misbehaving. For example, and I think you'd be surprised by this, unless you've been reading up on the science in the last...
I doubt.
So, for example...
You're smarter than I am.
No. just luckier.
Yes, I think so.
For example... heart disease, cardiovascular disease, there's some evidence that an immune system dysfunction is involved in that. Type 2 diabetes, obesity, autism. There are things happening which cause the immune system to misbehave.
So those three levels that you would be referring to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And which one is the most prominent where you see... things going wrong? It's the middle one?
Well, it's the middle one and the third one. The first one is simple. I mean, it's mucus and saliva and, you know, lysozymes and things that just eat up. So the second and third one are things where things can go wrong, do go wrong. One thing which is very interesting is the majority of drugs if you take a medicine, when I say drugs, I mean medicines. Mm-hmm. If you take a prescription medicine, a medicine that you can't buy just by walking into a pharmacy.
An antibiotic, perhaps?
Yeah, a medicine that you need, not antibiotic, but any other type of medicine that's not an antibiotic, where you need a doctor to give you a prescription.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of those drugs now, compared to 20 years ago, are actually antibodies, things that target specific proteins.
Right? So the third level.
So it's
level.
Very different, yeah. Mm. You can think of it like the third level. So yes, it is a third level, sorry. So it's things have really, really changed in a massive way. Now, in this particular study, coming back to the male-female thing, you know, why is that happening? And I think there's two, and I could get in trouble when I leave. I'm worried about going to the car park when I go back.
Again.
Depending on what I say.
You say this every month.
No, but this time.
You still keep coming back.
I mean it. So I'm just worried there'll be a bunch of women waiting to lynch me.
You'll be lucky if you get out of the office.
Yeah, I know. Oh, this office is full of women. So I have to be careful how I term this. Now, in this study, what they showed is when they compared men and women, these cells, these mast cells, and mast cells basically are a type of immune cell that are involved in producing, for example, histamine. Histamine is
second level,
allergic.
Third level.
You can it's basic. You can think of it as second level.
Okay,
it's part of the innate.
It's tissue cell.
Yeah. So what they found is that there was a massive difference between the genes that are being made in women compared to the genes being made. There was a lot of differential difference a very large difference. Now, this is a very preliminary study, and I don't want to kind of, you know, the reason why I say I was worried about the car park or getting out of the office is they, what the study found is they're stating that it's stress mediated. It's a result of stress. Now,
we're more sensitive
this is
to
the
stress.
Bit, this is the bit where I'm going to get in trouble for, maybe, is that something which is a biological thing that's happening, or is it because women tend to get stressed more easily, right? No. I'm not a sociologist or an anthropologist. I can't comment at all. But you see, is the chicken or egg? Is it because women are more prone to stress that this happens, or is it because there's something innate biological which causes this difference? I don't know that. Many people are studying that, and so that's an interesting angle to look at.
Well, yeah, very.
Mira's giving me this.
No. I'm just.
This was TV.
This is purely science. This is purely science. And if that is the case, so be it, right? But we're also very driven by hormones as opposed to the male. Would you agree with me? And hence the biological aspect is you're referring to.
Funny you should say that. There was a study done, and I did my homework today. There was a study done in 2007 where they looked at stress and mast cells and hormonal imbalances and menstrual cycles, and they compared women at different stages of their menstrual cycle and men, obviously, who were not menstruating. They also had women in that group who were post-menopause, and they did not find a correlation. There was no correlation between hormonal changes and, I don't want to call it imbalance, changes throughout the month compared to the immune response and stress.
Okay.
Now, then there's another point, and this could be a whole topic by itself, is stress in the immune system. And this is something I'm really, really into as a person, because it's so, you know, even tiny, tiny things can make a massive difference. You know, we think about stress, we worry, we think, okay, stress is something that, you know, you could have something which is a very serious type of stress. You could have a chronic stress, a chronic, you know, long-term stress condition. There was a study, a beautiful study published last year by a group in Sweden at the Karolinska, where they looked at men and women who were looking after aged relatives who had Parkinson's. And they found that individuals who looked after relatives, a mother or a parent, actually their life expectancy was reduced by 7 years. You know, it's a very significant number, right? So,
And did that matter whether you were male or female?
It didn't seem to matter whether you're male. Okay. My point I'm trying to get across is that...
Well, it was the same similar research that I read about grandparents who look after their grandchildren on an occasional basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the lifespan was, they in this case, they lived longer, between two and 5 years. You know?
That's a different thing. Yeah, you know,
this is, of course, coming down.
This is a bad thing. Mm. So, you know... we all need to, whether you're male or female, we all need to kind of really manage stress properly. Chronic stress, something maybe unavoidable if you have a situation where you can't get, you know, where, for example, if you have a parent who's ill, you can't get out of that, obviously. But day-to-day, you know, stress are kind of things that come up. I mean, one of my favorite studies of all time, and I talk about this all the time at dinner conversations, where maybe it's not so interesting, but anyway, I'll say it anyway. There was a study done 11 or 12 years ago where it was a very simple study, and they exposed people, men and women, to different smells, right? Chocolate, rotten meat, you know, apple, whatever. And then they measured the level of antibodies in their saliva, right? So it's a very, very quick thing, right? And they found very significant differences in terms of immunoglobulins in saliva. So the point here is, stress is important because it makes us behave in certain ways, which are sometimes advantageous. You need to react to dangers and threats and being chased by a lion, or that doesn't happen anymore, right? That's not going to happen in.
It's happening in a different way.
In any major city, that's not going to happen. I don't think you're going to get that in PJ. But You know, we have different types of stress. You know, we worry about our jobs, we worry about money, we worry about financial, we worry about, well, now Donald Trump. You know, there's lots of things to worry about, and that causes stress. And you can have acute stress, which is short term, and then chronic things that you worry about over a long period of time. How we manage that, and again, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but you know, I'm using my own family as an example. You know, when I look at my own family, when I look at my father or my sons, and compared to my daughter or my wife or my sisters, you know, it's kind of like, well, the guys are kind of like, oh, don't worry about it, it'll be okay, let's chill, whatever. And in my family, I'm not trying to be sexist, but in my family, the women or my sister will stress, and my wife will stress, and I worry about this. You know, in a different way.
Is that biological?
Is that behavioral? Is it a bit of both?
How then does that translate to the fact that women live longer than men? If you talk about life expectancy, mm-hmm. the women do live longer than the men.
Okay. Now, if we look at, you got me there. That's a good one. Now, if you look at mortality.
I'll let you think for a bit. We'll come back.
I got it. We'll come back after the break. Okay, all right.
Okay. We're discussing whether or not women get more stressed than men and whether or not that's affecting us on an immunological level. Did I say that right? And causing us more disease compared to men. That's an interesting one based on research done in Michigan State University. But actually, I've seen other studies as well done based on gastrointestinal and, you know, immune-related diseases, Dr. Arif. So we'll come back and have that discussion up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasuthi. It's our Health and Living segment. Dr. Arif Anwar, a resident geneticist in the studio with us. We are discussing our immune cells and whether or not they are impacted by stress differently amongst males and females. Dr. Arif, trying to help us break this down and understand this even better. Before we left for the break, he mentioned that women seem to stress more.
In his family, based on his observations.
Women seem to stress more, and hence the reason why it impacts us on a cell level, and which could possibly lead to disease, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Our phone lines are open. Give us a call if you have a question. It's 0377-109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp us on 0162019000. So then I'm asking Dr. Arif, why is it then women seem to outlive men?
Good question.
Yes.
First of all, I'm in trouble. I think I'm going to be in trouble when I go home this afternoon. But anyway,
I don't really care, actually.
So I haven't given this much thought before, but one good reason why men's life expectancy is lower is due to fat deposition differences. So if you look at how the pattern of fat deposition as compared to men and women. As men become overweight, then fat tends to deposit around the upper area, around the chest and the belly. So that does impact cardiovascular health. Heart cardiovascular related disease is the number one cause of death for men and women.
Yeah, exactly.
So fat deposition. And fat deposition itself is also driven by genetics. You know, there are a whole bunch of signaling molecules that drive where fat gets deposited. One reason.
Okay, just one.
That's one reason.
Right, I'm sure the doctors
anybody
out
else,
there,
anybody
yes,
else
please chime in. Help the man out.
In the community.
Give us a call, the number is 0377-109000. Right, so all of this research done, and you know, it seems to show that women could be impacted by disease more because we get stressed more than males, and so it impacts our immunological system much more than the males. Right, so what does this mean going forward? What does this research tell you, and how are we going to apply it?
Well, you see, I mean, some of the categories, I mean, going back to mast cells, some of the categories where mast cell dysfunction can contribute to disease is, I mentioned irritable bowel syndrome before.
Yes.
And it's really, really common. It's amazing. When you talk to people, you find out so many people have irritable bowel syndrome. Second area is migraines. Now, I mean, again, there is strong evidence for this, but also when I look at my own family, anecdotal evidence that migraines are actually more common in women than men by a factor between 3 and 4. Severe migraine, we're talking about severe clinical migraine. Mm-hmm. And irritable bowel syndrome, I mentioned already, between 2 and 4-fold more common. Certain autoimmune diseases, also far more common in women than men. So there's something going on. I don't want to be flippant about it. I mean, I don't think it's just about behavioral issues. So there's something which is causing that difference. Now, you know, we could spend until midnight tomorrow talking about all the different types of cells that there are in the immune system. There is a gazillion different types of cells in the immune system. It's a finely tuned, very complicated kind of army, right? All with different functions. They're all doing different things, produced in different amounts, present in different areas, fine-tuned to fight off and sustain an attack from infection. It's a finely balanced network of genes and proteins that all interact, that all signal to each other, that are involved. And anything which disturbs that, and stress is one of the most important things that can disturb it, is bound to cause a very significant effect in terms of our health. Now, what this leads on to in terms of the future, I think we look at it from a positive perspective, is this whole concept. And I've said this before a few years ago, but you know, I would bet that within 10 years, within, you know, by 2025, if you walk into 2025, where are we?
17.
Maybe 2030. Maybe 2030. Maybe 20. Okay, maybe 2030. Mm. You know, if you walk into any clinic in KL, in Selangor, wherever you are, the doctor will treat you differently, whether you're a man or a woman. I mean that in a nice way. As in, this whole concept of there's a new phrase which is becoming a huge buzzword globally, is precision medicine. So precision medicine means that, you know, we don't all wear the same type of clothes. We don't all dress the same. We don't like all the same things. You know, we all different shapes, different colors, different sizes. We all have different diets.
More targeted,
right? So precision medicine is targeted treatments, right? There are already drugs which are targeted towards people with certain types of genetic differences. There's a breast cancer drug called Herceptin, just been out for a number of years, and it only works in certain women who have a certain DNA change. And the future is targeted precision medicine. So there might be, when pharmaceutical companies release drugs in 2030, they might come out with 5 different types of the same drug. They might have different dosages. They might have different, slightly different chemicals. And I think that's really good news, because the fourth leading cause of death is adverse drug reaction. Right? No one ever talks about it. It never makes the news. You never hear about it.
Sometimes even just drug interaction.
Yeah. So things, you take a drug and it goes wrong, it doesn't work, it kills you.
Yeah.
So definitely in terms of differences between men and women. But it could also be related to ethnicity. It could be related to your body type. It could be related to your genotype, which is your genetic profile. It could also be related to your, and these are new words, you know, kind of psychoneuroimmunology, a bit of a mouthful, but you know, the interconnection between your psychological state and how that affects your immune system and how that affects downstream things.
Did you say
psychoneuroimmunology?
Right.
So there
That's
are all
the
these.
Brain as well.
Yeah. Right. So, I think it's. I'm sure it's a good thing. The fact we're seeing these differences, we're trying to understand these differences. Why are there these differences between different ethnicities, different genders, different ages? There are also differences in how people react to certain drugs based on their age. We've been doing a very exciting research project, which we're hoping to publish soon, on aging. And we're seeing some very fascinating differences between men and women of all ethnicities in terms of their age and how they respond to drugs, and their immune system is completely different. You know, We can tell you somebody's age based on just by looking at their immune, their autoantibody profile. So I think this is a good thing. Targeted means better treatment. It means actual treatment. It means addressing the actual causes rather than just massaging and managing symptoms.
So you look at it in a more positive light.
Exactly.
Studies like this are actually, will not really create more of a gap, but it will help.
Absolutely.
Towards medicine going forward.
It's tailoring, you see. It's tailoring. And that is extremely important in terms of human healthcare.
Okay. We have Yong on the line. I'm not sure if you'll be able to answer Yong's question, but go ahead, Yong. You have a question?
Yes. Before I do, just a couple of things. Dr. Arif, I do see the trend of, you know...
women getting stressed. Huh? You see a trend of?
What Dr. Arif said just now, that 10 years or 15 years down the line...
Yes.
You see the... the separation of the gender, medicine will be administered
differently.
Yeah,
okay.
Mm-hmm. And just a slight humor. So, Dr. Arif, don't worry. If you are the president of the US, then you should worry about being a clobber in the car. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Arif, you're not the president. Okay, I diverted. Yeah, my question is. Somebody said that my systolic
your blood pressure.
Blood pressure, yeah.
Okay.
It's a bit high, and I'm not under stress, but I do worry about finances, but then that doesn't stress me out. Would that has anything got to do with, they say it's an indication, this high reading is an indication of hypertension.
Okay, thank you very much.
Just one more thing, sorry.
Sure.
Dr. Arif, will you be in the Health and Living in,
on the 8th of April? No, he won't be because that's very brain-based. And Dr. Arif won't be, actually.
All right.
All right, then. Thank you. Bye-bye. I'll invite him.
Okay, Yong, yeah. First of all, I should say, and just for transparency, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a PhD and in genetics. So for your hypertension, you should go and see a medical professional. Mm-hmm. But on a general level, to clarify, hypertension, for some individuals, there is a genetic basis for it. So you can have certain genetic mutations in certain genes that lead you to have a naturally high blood pressure, regardless of your stress level or, for example, there is a strong correlation between your weight and high blood pressure. One of the best things you can do to reduce your blood pressure is to lose weight. Two other things you can do, which are all, this is all sensible advice that everybody gives, but there is also a very strong correlation between alcohol intake and blood pressure, and also a strong correlation between smoking and blood pressure. So those are all sensible things that everybody knows, which we should all do. But there are certain people who, even if they're non-smokers, non-drinkers, and they can be as thin as a rake, very thin, they can still have high blood pressure. So there is also a genetic basis for it. I can think of friends of mine who, I'm ancestrally Indian. I can think of friends of mine who are Indian who are very, very thin and don't drink much or don't smoke and yet have very high blood pressure and have high cholesterol. And that, much of that is due to a genetic basis, which just leads to naturally high blood pressure. Stress, yes, stress does, of course, cause high blood pressure. And in fact, stress actually is a good thing. When you're running away from a lion, you want to have high blood pressure so that the blood pumps faster and you get more oxygen and, you can run faster and get away from things and have extra strength to get away from the lion. But long-term high blood pressure obviously is very bad for you. And if you do have...
chronic stress.
Yeah. you know, chronically high blood pressure, I would recommend going and seeing an appropriately qualified medical professional.
Sure. Vikram seems to have his understanding or his take on why women could maybe live longer. He says men live shorter lives because they take their health for granted, whereas women worry more about health and get freaked out at everything. Mm-hmm. And so they get things checked out and end up living longer. So
there you go.
Good and the bad. There's some interesting stuff here. I was reading up on immunological differences between males and females, and it was interesting to find that it affects attraction. How important is immunity in sexual attraction?
It affects attraction.
I don't know. That's what some of the articles were saying.
Really? Well, you see, again, it kind of goes back to anecdotal evidence and also scientifically published data that... And you see it even in your own lives. Some people who never seem to get ill or very rarely get ill, and other people who seem to be ill all the time and, you know, catch and they're off. I mean, I've been working for 21 years and I've taken 2 days off sick in 21 years. And there's another individual.
That's an exaggeration.
Think, oh, true. Mira, ask my wife. Call my wife. Go on, call her. It is true. call my HR person.
2 days over the last 21 years.
Yes. I'm
what sort of genes did you
bring my arms up? Anyway.
Okay, I'm calling.
So yeah, call my wife. I'll give you a number. It's true. Call my mom as well.
Okay.
I think I took 2 days off school as well in twenty years. It's true.
Okay. And when were you sick? I mean, what did you have?
Food poisoning.
Oh. See, if you hadn't eaten the wrong thing, even that wouldn't
happen. In Malaysia.
Okay.
Okay, so look, when you come back to for example, the autoimmune system, the evidence is extremely strong, and this is actually a key area of research that I'm focused in at the moment, is looking at the immune system and looking at what happens when the immune system goes wrong. We even showed, and this was published with a collaborator at University of Malaya. Last year, we published a paper last year where we showed that certain individuals whose immune system is misbehaving seem to get very bad secondary, tertiary complications of malaria, and certain individuals do not, if they have a good autoimmune profile, their immune profile. So the immune system is, you know, it's the fundamental step in terms of disease. And one thing which just came out today. If you Google it, it came out in the news today. So I'm trying to be fresh, right? Just came out today is the role of the bacteria living in our gut and the immune system. Just came out today that you know, all humans, it's like a fingerprint. So we have a fingerprint in terms of our fingers, but you also have an individual fingerprint in terms of the composition, the different types of, and the numbers and the species of bacteria living in your gut.
I think we've done a show on that,
yeah,
haven't we?
But there's some new evidence came out in terms of its link with multiple sclerosis.
Interesting.
Today, and okay. Parkinson's.
All right. Would you have more details? We'll come back after the market update and go through that. That's very interesting. We are discussing your immune system amongst females and males, trying to figure out whether or not the females seem to be more susceptible to stress, and that in a way results in certain types of diseases. And as you said, very much gastrointestinal related diseases, some autoimmune diseases, and so on and so forth. So if you have a question, our phone lines are open at 03 77 109 000. You can tweet BFM Radio or text 016 201 9000. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sevisodhi. If you have just joined us, welcome. Dr. Arif Anwar, our resident geneticist in the studio with us. We're trying to understand the male immune cells and how different they are from the female immune cells, because there seems to be a different impact. Females apparently seem to be more susceptible to certain diseases resulting from stress. So we don't seem to be coping with stress as well as our male counterparts when it comes to the, and that's impacting our immune system.
Well, it's causing an effect.
Okay.
In certain diseases like irritable bowel syndrome, migraines.
Okay.
For example.
we had Wong on the line. Can you call back, please, Wong? Because we didn't quite get to go through that call with you. Okay, you left off just now by saying that there was recent findings today about gut bacteria in relation to multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, so not just MS. I mean, if you Google the word gut microbiome.
But does this matter whether it was male or female?
It's health, it's lifestyle related, diet related, stress related. So there could be a connection in terms of the going back to stress. I think this whole topic today is related to the effect of stress and how that relates to differences in the immune system, and that drives disease development. So the gut microbiome basically is defined as all the different types of bacteria in terms of the different species and different numbers of bacteria living in our gut. And that's also affected by stress. The whole population is affected by stress, affected by lifestyle, affected by diet, affected by, really the thing you have to think about is it's all a system. It's all interconnected.
Okay. We have a question from LTY. It's been a long time. How are you, LTY?
I'm very fine, thank you, and good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon,
Dr. Hari.
Hi, how are you? Well, I haven't heard your voice for a while.
I'm improving day by day, even though I'm aging by improving my... I have a good genes, set of genes.
Wonderful.
All right, Dr. Hari, my question is about nutrition, all right? Now, we know that nutritional behavior has an impact on gene expression or regulation. My question is this. Do men and women get equal protection as far as gene protection, gene expression is concerned? That means to say, if men and women eat the same type of food, same quality, same amount, does our gene expression behave differently in men and women? Thank you very much, Dr. Arif.
Thank you, LTY. That was an excellent question, actually.
I need to meet LTY somewhere.
I need
to meet him, actually.
Daughters.
I need to sequence him.
Please do that.
Look at his autoimmune profile.
You really should do me a favor because he's a smoker.
And he's getting better day by day.
Yes.
Right? There's something he's doing right.
Okay.
So his question was, does diet affect gene expression is basically a term for all the different types of genes that are made in a certain moment in time. So we have roughly, humans have, the way you look at it, it depends how you look at it, but let's say you have 22,000 roughly different genes. Not all of them are made at the same time, and they're all made in different quantities in different cells, and they vary in different individuals all the time. Are there differences between men and women? Yes, there are, because that's exactly what we talked about today, is in mast cells, there is a big difference in terms of gene expression between men and women. 8,000 differentially expressed genes were found between men and women. Now, LTY's question was diet.
Yep.
If you eat the exact same thing, is it going to be different between men and women? That's a very difficult question to answer because there are so many variables involved.
Thank goodness. I can't be cooking differently for my husband or my son.
You're going to have to do precision food.
Yeah. Cook yourself.
Right. Here you go. There's a blue, different colored plates.
Yeah.
Right. No, I don't think we're at that point. But yeah.
Yeah. And until men are going to cook, learn to cook, everybody learns to cook. I hope we don't find anything that is different.
I think precision food does not exist yet.
Okay, really? You might have just started a whole crazy, thingy. So this was done on mice. This study was carried out on mice, Dr. Arif.
Yes.
I mean, this is a long way to go.
Yeah, that's why I said it's a preliminary study. And most of these, I know people don't like, some people don't like the fact that a lot of research gets done in animals. And it's a necessary evil in many situations to develop new drugs, to develop new medicines, to try and understand what's going on in terms of mechanism of things. You can do a lot of things just looking at cells in a dish. But, organisms, we're a system. There are tissues and things, and everything is in 3D, and things interact, and signaling pathways, etc. So, it was done in mice as preliminary study.
Okay, all right then. So would you have a message on the male immune system and the female immune system?
Okay, so as I said, it's a preliminary study looking at one type of cell out of hundreds of different types of immune system cells. But in this particular study, they did find a difference. Whether that will also carry over to humans is not guaranteed, but may be likely. It suggests that it is likely. And I think, you know, joking aside, if we look into the cause of that, it may be related to genetic differences. It may be related to behavioral response. It may be related to physiological differences between men and women. My personal opinion, it's a combination of all of those things. So on a general level, whether you're a man or a woman, managing stress is incredibly important. It can literally make you fall apart if you don't manage stress properly. You know, the 2 days I told you I was sick, one was food poisoning, one was the last month of my PhD where I was kind of really super stressed and everything was going wrong with my immune system. So it really can make things fall apart in terms of your response to, I mean, just not, even missing sleep, for example, causes a reduction in the efficiency of your immune system. Not eating the right foods reduces the efficiency of your immune system. So sleeping well, having a good diet, all the same messages that everybody says, right? Mm-hmm. All of those things contribute to a healthy, efficient, you know, immune system where your army is well fed and ready to fight off things, and also minimizes the chances of the immune system misbehaving.
Okay.
So the message is the same that everybody gives, which is just chill out.
45 minutes later, you mm-hmm. tell me all I have to do is just
chill out. Just chill.
Eat in moderation, just exercise, chill. And mm-hmm. chill.
Just chill out.
Dr. Arif, okay. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Okay,
Dr. Arif Anwar, a resident geneticist on the male immune system as well as the female immune system in relation to stress on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.